If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. I love the text we've been studying. Just a little recap of last week as we saw God's provision for man. Marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Chapter 24 is the longest chapter in Genesis. And there's a typology. We spoke about this. In the Old Testament, events demonstrated a New Testament truth. Old Testament event, Isaac receives his bride. New Testament truth, Jesus receives the church as his bride. Abraham, once again, is a type of father, a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a type of, a picture of the Son, Jesus. Rebekah is a type of, a picture of the church, the bride. And this servant that we spoke about last week is a type of the Holy Spirit working on behalf of the Father, Son, and the church. And it's a beautiful picture because in the beginning, Genesis, the book of the beginnings, God shows the whole picture, the whole plan, how it works right in this story with these people. The players are on the field. Each one of them has a purpose. And it's a picture of to show us what would happen in God's economy. The whole Bible speaking of God's love for us, the plan for salvation for man, and the redemption for mankind at one point in time. We will be with the King one day. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you excited? Are you waiting? And we need to live as if it's going to happen immediately. As if Jesus is at the door ready to call us home. Because we don't know the time nor the hour, but we know the seasons and we see things happening around us. We've gone through this in great detail, the nation of Israel, what's happening in the Middle East, and yet God hasn't come yet. So what does that mean? Keep working. Keep on keeping on. Keep on being busy. Keep on loving on people. Keep on bringing the gospel. Keep on teaching the truth. The truth. If God has given you any platform, and that could be one, two, where two or more are gathered, he's there, right, in the midst of you. So if you have someone else to talk to, Jesus is with you, right? And that's a platform. Speak about the Lord. Talk about the scriptures. Speak about the good news that God loves them. Talk about the Bible. Teach them what God has taught you. The time is short. How much time do we have? I don't know. Right? It could happen at any minute, but while we're here, let's get to business, right? Let's get busy about speaking the truth. I walked into the post office the other day. They appeared to be homeless panhandlers in front of the post office, and I walked up, and before they said anything, I said, "Jesus is coming. You ready?" And they just went like this. They didn't even ask me for anything. But Jesus is coming. Are you ready? I didn't say that to be mean. That could have opened up a great conversation. Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Oh, that's right. He's coming back. Right? So two things could have happened. They rejected it right off the bat, but they could have responded in a positive way, which would have given me the opportunity to minister. Right? To talk, yeah, Jesus is coming. How you doing? How's your walk? How's your faith? Where do you go to church? Where's your Bible? What's your favorite verse? All kinds of opportunities open up when you just say one thing, right? Jesus is coming. They're going to either run from you or they're going to come to you. Two things will happen. And the fact that they're silent means they've ran from you, right? They've rejected that. But we have to be about our Father's business. About our Father's business, right? Once again, a portrait, a picture of God's love, the Father, through Abraham, Isaac. Now, Abraham considered his son Isaac as dead. So he wasn't killed, but it's as if he was because he brought him to the actual altar to slaughter him, right? And yet, Abraham says, "The Lord will provide the lamb." And I love the story that it wasn't a lamb that they found, but a ram that they found. And the ram was a picture, a type of the lamb that was to come. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A lamb, unblemished, sinless, innocent. I spoke to someone recently about, you know, they wanted justice for something that they had happened to them, and it's not fair. And I said to them, well, you're not going to get justice on this side of the earth, on this side of the kingdom, right? It's just not going to happen. And, well, I can't believe that happened. Well, was it fair that Jesus died for my sins? He did nothing. Was it fair that Jesus died for your sins or the child molester or such? Of course it wasn't fair, but it was proof of his love for us. And so he's coming back. We want to be ready. We want to be, as Jesus himself said, about my Father's business. Jesus was 12 years old when he said that. I need to be about my Father's business. Where was he? He was in the synagogue. He was in the place where the word was being taught, where they were speaking of the scriptures, where they were glorifying God there. And so that's where Jesus was, about his Father's business. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How does that happen? We're sinful man. Well, Jesus died for our sins. We believe in him. His spirit dwells within us. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all our sins. So now God sees us as pure and holy before him. Now that hasn't physically happened yet, right? But the spirit that dwells within you. Now this is Christianity 101, and we need to be reminded of this, don't we? The spirit that dwells within you is the seal and the guarantee, the stamp, the seal, and God's guarantee of your inheritance. Now, we haven't cashed that in yet, right? Alan's going to cash it in soon when God calls him home. And Alan will be in a perfect state with God. He will see God face to face. The God that we pray to, that we hope for, that we study, he's going to see him face to face. All the promises of no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain and suffering in the presence of God. Alan's going to experience that. And so will we one day. And the more we consider what God has for us, these things on this plane have less effect. Less effect. The things, you know, that were so important to me as when I was younger are meaningless to me now. People that I thought were so important, oh, these are my bros, we're hanging out. I don't see any of those guys today, right? The things that were so important that we would hang on to and profess, oh, we would die for these things are fruitless now. Why? God's changed us. We have a different vision. We have a different calling. It's been said the best 2 days of your life are the day you were born again, and the second best day is the day that you know why you were born again. Your calling, what has God called me now to do? How now shall we live? As Christians, we have the words of life. The words of life. And although we think that some people know it, they don't know it. They may have heard a little bit about it, but they don't know that much. So don't assume just because someone rejects the name of Jesus that they know everything and turned away from it. They may not have. They may be just following the crowd. Keep on loving on them. Keep on being an example to them. I'm not saying chase them, but don't give up. Continue to pray. And there's a spiritual truth. God works at both ends of the equation, in our life and through his plan. We have the responsibility to be obedient and faithful, and God is the one who's working it all out, right? Working out his plan. 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what was happening? God was working his plan out. That's why the apostles of the day and the prophets could say that the Son would come, he would die on a cross before crucifixion was ever even invented. How could that happen? God's working out his plan. Things are happening. Babylon is taken out by the Medo-Persians. The Grecians take out the Medo-Persians, and now they're in charge. Now Rome takes over Greece, and the Romans are in charge. And they build the road that would bring the footsteps of those who would bring the gospel to the whole world. They bring a language. The Greeks bring a language. And so God had worked out everything in his plan. And now here we are, 2018. What does that mean? What does that represent? That represents 2,018 years ago, the Son came, the Messiah came, as he promised, born in a manger of a virgin, came to die so that we could live. Isn't that interesting? Most of the world doesn't believe in Jesus, but yet 2018, the whole world recognizes that the day that Christ was born. Now, we don't know the exact day, but you understand the theory, right? And so Abraham calls his servant to find a bride for his son, Isaac. Doesn't want him to marry a Canaanite. Why? Because he would pull him away from the God of Abraham. And so the servant says, well, what should I do? He gives God a fleece. He says, well, if she feeds the camels water, then I'll know she's the one. But if she doesn't, then let her go. And it's free will, right? She had a free will to come. And it's an interesting story because it says, the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, being on the way the Lord led him, in chapter 24, verse 27. And it's important, being on the way. Man's responsibility, being on the way, right? God's sovereignty, the Lord led me. God leads, we follow. God reveals, we follow. And both work together, as I mentioned. So Rebecca tells her household about this whole story. And so now we pick it up in verse 29 through 33. Now Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out of to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he had heard of the words his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, I bless of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house, a place for the camels. And the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and he provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and his feet of the men who were with him, and food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So when we learn Rebecca, or actually when Laban learns Rebecca has a brother named Laban, when we learn that, it's important to know that Laban was a cardinal-minded person. What drew him to the conversation? She sees the rings and the bracelets. He's a worldly man. So Laban is a worldly man, and yet he welcomes the servant because of the gifts he saw on his sister. Listen, there are a lot of Labans out there, some looking for your wealth and perhaps to rip you off. But the reality is God may be working in their lives. If God draws them, don't miss the opportunity. Somebody could be coming to church for the wrong reason. Hey, I heard there was a lot of girls here. Now, we laugh at that. But the mega church is a breeding ground for dates and such. And I'm not going there. You get the point. Somebody may be coming for the wrong reason. But if we're having a conversation with them, draw them to the Lord. Use every opportunity to speak about the Lord. And so this man, the servant, says, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. He wants to tell everybody about what God did. Do you remember the story? Rebecca comes and he speaks to her, and she does exactly what he asked God. If this is the one, let her do this. And she does it. And then if she wants to come, let her come. But if she doesn't, then let her go. Free will. Rebecca is a picture of the church. The servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit guiding and drawing. Isaac, a picture of the son. Abraham, a picture of the father. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Beautiful scene, beautiful movie we're watching unfold. But he says, I will not eat. I'm not going to do anything until I tell you about the errand. What happened in my life? And that's your testimony. Every one of us has a testimony. every one of us, some, wow, you are way out there, others not so much, but we still have a testimony of how we now walk with the Lord. Now listen, I've listened to a lot of testimonies before, and I've heard the people give the testimony 55 minutes of how bad they were and 5 minutes about how God saved them. And it should be the absolute opposite. I was lost like the rest of the world, but let me tell you what happened. What Jesus is now doing in my life, what Jesus has done, what he's doing, and what he will do later, give them hope for now and a promise of hope for the future. And so this person, he sees the urgency. He's pressing business. Do we live that way? Do you live that way? Does the church live that way? Well, I pray we are. I hope we are. And I know there's seasons and times where things change. We had more personnel at times in the past. We had two services for a season. We had more people, less people, different people, right? But we continue going on. Each week, by the grace of God, we're here twice a week, in season and out of season, bringing the word of God to the body. And there's a lot of people, oh, Pastor, I want to meet with you. You know where I'm at. I'm at church Wednesday and Sunday. Come see me. I'll talk to you. Right? Oh, you're busy. They don't want to come and hear the word. They just want to, you know, talk. So this servant, a picture of the Holy Spirit, spiritual ministry of the Spirit is urgent. Did you get that? It's urgent. Now is the time for salvation. If the Spirit moves in your heart, do not delay. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Who is that? Who is he speaking to? The heathens? He's speaking to everyone. If the Spirit knocks on your heart for salvation, respond to it. If the Spirit knocks on your heart for ministry, respond to it. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the activity of ministry that we miss the ministry sometimes. And you have to catch yourself. You have to realize, wait a minute, I'm not just up here preaching the word of God. The Lord is doing something in your heart. I'm going to be faithful in teaching the word, but I need to allow the Lord to speak to your heart. And so we're all coming to receive something. As I teach, I learn. As you hear, you learn. And we all grow together. Our faith grows. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
the word of God. There's a lot of churches that are not preaching the word. I heard a man speak the other day. He has a large platform. He almost didn't mention the name Jesus at all. Shucking and jiving, talking stuff about getting people to give their money to him. Crazy. But he has to respond. He has to answer to that. I'm not going to worry about him. I'm going to worry about me, right? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to love on people? And am I going to be like this picture of the Holy Spirit, seeing the urgency for people to come to salvation? The urgency that today is the day, because we don't know when things will change. Think about this. Everybody in here knows that Calvary Chapel, we believe in the pre-rapture of the church. The church will be raptured before the tribulation. Church is raptured. Antichrist is revealed. He makes a treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. Halfway into that treaty, he steps into the temple, declares himself to be God, and demands to be worshipped. The next 3.5 years, God is pouring the wrath, judgment upon the earth until finally he wipes it out. We come back with him for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a little while, and then God, by his word, will just wipe them all out forever, and we'll live with the Lord forever. That's it. That's the end of the world, right there. But when the church is raptured, just consider the chaos that will happen on the earth. What now holds back evil is what? The Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God dwell? In you, in the believers. So when the church is raptured, taken up, harpazo, meaning snatched up, a twinkling of an eye, we're harpazoed out of here. The word rapture is not in the Bible. The word is harpazo. When that happens, think about this. And I'm only going there to let you picture the urgency of us to tell people about Christ. Think about all the parents that dropped their kids off at daycare before they went to work. And they go back, and there's no kids. Kids are all gone. Where are they? They've been raptured. Think about the chaos that will be happening on the earth today. And I think about those things, and I don't know if you do, but just think about that. All the newborn babies in the hospital are gone. Boop. Where are they? They're with us in the clouds, meeting Jesus. Isn't that great? No, that's a great thing. But we need to tell the world today, listen, it's not a game. Now is the time to get serious about the things of God. I don't know if you're on Facebook. I don't like Facebook anymore. I'm on it for ministry purposes and family reasons, but it's so political now. But if you see the foolishness in the people's lives, you're like, what are you doing? You know better. I know you. What are you doing? There's an urgency should be in our hearts to speak to people so that they can be changed. Because listen to this. If you're not doing it, who's doing it? If you're the Christian in that person's life and you're not doing it, then who else in the world's going to be doing it? And the answer to that is nobody. Nobody. Pick it up in verse 34 through 49. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. It has become great, and he has given him flocks and his herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when he was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, so let me stop right there. The father has given all to the son. The Father in heaven has given all authority unto Jesus. You see the picture? Isn't this great? This is amazing. The Father has been blessed. The Father blesses and gives all to the Son. We just read in verse 36. And in the same way, the Father in heaven has given all unto Jesus. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to the father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angels with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. And you will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, I say to her, please give me a little water for your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulders and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. And then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, God of my master Abraham. And he led me in the way of the truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So here's the servant's account of while he's on the way, led by the Lord. Remember those words, on the way, led by the Lord. He's on the way, and he's led by the Lord. As we walk with God, we are on the way, led by the Lord. In chapter 24, verse 27, we're led by the Lord. God is guiding and directing our paths, and we see the miracle of God happening as he's pleading. Picture of the Holy Spirit to receive the bride. This is us, right? The bride of Christ. And in its amazing picture, the servant recounts his journey. And notice, the servant testifies solely of Isaac the son. The servant, a picture of Jesus. The Spirit testifies exclusively of Christ. Now, I've been watching some videos on YouTube, and I can't imagine what the Lord thinks about the foolishness in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's happening in the churches today. People running up and down, jumping all around, laughing, laying on their backs, throwing snakes around, and attributing this to the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, number one, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, don't miss this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And the Bible says that the Spirit is subject to the prophets. And so the Spirit is not going to have you on... Why would you be on your back anyway, right? The Spirit's job is not to make us run around like fools. The Spirit's job is to testify to the Son. We see it right here in the beginning in the book of Genesis. The Spirit of God testifies of Jesus Christ and his glory. The Spirit doesn't speak of the Father, it speaks of the Son. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit, right? He will testify of me. What does testify mean? He will witness. He will give evidence of me. Who's speaking in John chapter 15? That's Jesus. Jesus saying, when this Holy Spirit that the Father is sending will testify of me. Don't miss that. Because there's denominations that have gone out in left field and they've brought people with them. And they're really doing pagan worship, in my opinion. And the Spirit that they are testifying about is not speaking of Jesus Christ. Be careful. John 16:15 says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he, the Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God teaches us about the Son and the Word. Who's the Word? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word. It's so simple, but yet we make it so confusing sometimes in man's opinions and traditions. But here, right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, the whole picture is set out before us, starting with Abraham. Now the servant began to speak of the wealth of his master and that he has. And so the Holy Spirit testifies of the work of Jesus. Jesus, here it says, right, we just read that in John 15 and John 16. The Spirit, he will testify of me. And the Father has spoken to the Spirit. Therefore, I said he, the Spirit, will take of mine and declare it to you. Isn't that great? So before I became a believer, I heard about all this stuff. I didn't understand any of it. Matter of fact, I didn't want to understand it, right? Because I wasn't in tune with the Lord. But when we become believers, the Spirit begins to tell us. The Spirit in my life, you know, lit this fire in my heart to learn more. If you said something, I want to know if it was true. I wanted to look it up. If you said something I didn't understand, I wanted to study it. I love these iPhones, right? They have a dictionary app. And when someone's talking to me and I pull my phone out, I'm sometimes looking up the word they just said because I don't know what it is. Because I want to know more than I know now. I want to study more. There's things I hear on television when attorneys speak on the news. Well, this is this and that. I'm looking up the word. I want to know more. I want to study. I want to be smarter. Now, I'll never reach perfection on this side, but I can strive for excellence. We spoke about that in our men's leadership. We can strive for excellence. What am I doing today? And how can I do it better tomorrow? Does that make sense? I want to do better. Why? I want to do better for the Lord. I want to do my best for the Lord. And I have to confess, I don't always give my best to the Lord. Just imagine where we would be as a universal church if every Christian gave their best to the Lord. Makes us think, don't you think? So the standard for spirituality, listen, the standard for spirituality and the Holy Spirit, listen, don't miss this, is Christ-centered. Jesus Christ, period. The standard for our testimony is what Christ has done on the cross for you and I and for the world. The spirituality standard is Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Here's a quote. The Spirit of God will never lead anyone to look at himself or his work. This is a quote. It's not in the Bible. But only and always at Christ. Hence, the more the spiritual reality within a person, the more they will be entirely occupied with Jesus Christ. It's not about the pastor. Oh, the pastor is so funny. You got to come to the church. It's not about the worship. Oh, they're the best musicians. Oh, this singer in the church. It's none of that. It is Jesus Christ. Come and let us worship the King. He's on the throne. He's praying on your behalf. And we're going to meet him one day. While we're here, let's do what he says, right? So the Holy Spirit is it. And if anybody has a question about this, or a conflict about what I've said, please come talk to me after service, because it's very important that we understand God wants us to know he is truth. We need to worship him in truth and in spirit. So, first of all, before we can worship him in spirit, we need to know the truth, right? Well, he's revealed the truth of who he is and how he operates in the scripture. Now, some of us may have experienced something some other place, some other atmosphere. But here, God now is revealing to us how the Holy Spirit works, and even more in the New Testament as well. But this is a picture of. And so Revelation 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy testifies of who? Jesus. Jesus. And what is Jesus? Peace, truth, love, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, right? Yes. So how do we become better? I love 2 Peter. Add to your faith now. What's the first thing to add to your faith? Knowledge. Right? And if you're not wise and you want wisdom, he says ask and he'll give it to you abundantly. Are you asking for wisdom or are you trying to figure it out yourself? Because the more I walk with the Lord, the more I realize how much I don't know. Right? And how much I need him more. So there's no arrogance. Oh, I've arrived. We haven't arrived. We're not even close. We're on our way. We're not who we were. He says in verse 36, my master's wife bore a son. To him he has given him all that he has. Spiritually, Christ has inherited all from the Father. John 3:35. Those of you taking notes, the Father loves the Son. And he has given all things into his hands. John 16, all things the Father has are mine. And so he offered it to us by receiving the relationship with the Son. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. We will inherit our Father's kingdom with Jesus, his Son, our Lord, our Savior, our King, and I love this one. Ready? Our friend. He's a friend. We have a friend in Christ. We have a friend in Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He didn't say that's going to happen. He says he has blessed us. Now, right now, we might not understand what that means. We might not comprehend that, but we will one day. Right now, we see things through a dim mirror. I can understand, I can see a little bit, but one day we'll see them clear, face to face, right in front of us. We'll have complete understanding. Now I know why. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, I could have never imagined. Oh, I didn't think of that, right? Because we have limited ability right now to understand these things. Let's finish the chapter. Can we do that? We can do that. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The things come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And then the servant brought out jewelry, silver, jewelry, and gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the man who were with him, they ate and they drank and they stayed all night. And then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us for a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." And then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, tens of thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels, and they followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. So here we see everyone acknowledges God's hand is at work. God's working this all out. God sent the servant through the word of Abraham, right? The servant, a picture of the Holy Spirit, calling the bride, calling Rebekah out to come, and she comes. And so we see God's hand in this. The servant reveals Isaac's riches. The Spirit testifies of Christ's riches. 2 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What is he talking about? Understanding the scriptures, understanding the word, that we may truly know, that we may truly understand these things. Rebekah's family says, let the young girl stay a few more days. Laban is a picture of the material flesh, and flesh will always attempt to delay God's will for your life. Remember that. Don't be a procrastinator. If you are, overcome it. Don't settle for it. Regarding the things of the Lord, don't be a procrastinator. Especially in the Lord's house, we have a responsibility to do things in the Lord's house. Let's make it look better. Let's make it smell better. Let's make it more presentable for the people that come into the house of the Lord. Don't delay. The flesh will always want you to delay. The servant stresses the urgency of his mission. This is the Spirit's mission. It's urgent. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. Rebekah's loyalty shifts from her worldly family now to her groom. And it demonstrates truth on two levels. Number one, a bride must put her husband first, not her family. The two husbands shall leave his mother and father, and the two shall become one, right? Number two, in the spiritual realm, the church must put Jesus first, not the world. So this is a picture of a spiritual truth. We need to leave the things of the world to come into the family of God, right? We have been changed. We're no longer the same. We're different. We look different. We talk different. Not that we're better, but God's changed us. And our message is not, "Hey, look at us. You guys better get right. You're going to hell." No, God loves you. "Oh, I was one of you too. I used to go there. I used to do that. I used to say that. But God came in my heart, and I'm not the same person, and he's changed me. Now I have hope. I know where I'm going, and I can't wait to get there." Amen. Right? Jesus is coming. Are you ready? So the important truth Rebecca leaves with the servant. She's being moved by the Holy Spirit. A picture, there's a physical with a spiritual truth. She's being moved by the Holy Spirit. She's following the lead of the Holy Spirit. It's called what? A step of faith. She's stepping out in faith. She's never seen Isaac. We've never seen Jesus. The substance of things hoped for. We know he came, but there's an evidence of things that are coming, right? There's an evidence of transformation that has happened in our life. It's faith. So we leave our old lives, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, right? So that's Philippians 3. But the verse before that, Philippians 3, 12 says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold that which Christ has also laid hold for me or of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have attained. And now Paul writes with such a spiritual maturity here that you would think, he's conquered it. He's arrived. He has all these spiritual difficulties in check, and yet he assures us that it's not the case. Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still in the flesh. And the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. What a wretched man that I am. Who can save me? And he answers that question, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, right? All right, we're done. Five more verses, 62 through 67. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Leah Roi, for he dwelt in the south, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is the man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac and all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Isaac's character spiritually is focused on God. Isaac, a picture of the son, he lifted his eyes and he looked, and the camels were coming. The bride was revealed to him as he was focusing on God. Isn't that neat? So the servant identifies Isaac to Rebekah. And all we see, the coming together as Isaac and Rebekah, is a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ for the church. And the spirit reveals Jesus to us. Jesus says, listen, don't miss this. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless he's drawn by the Father. Well, how does the Father draw people to Jesus? The Holy Spirit. No one can come to me unless he's drawn by the Father, and I will lift him up on the last day. Here we see a picture of the servant, the Holy Spirit, drawing her to Jesus. And Isaac receives his bride drawn out of the world by the servant, the Holy Spirit. Jesus receives the bride drawn out of the world by the Spirit. So Isaac and Rebecca, perfect picture of Jesus and the church. And it says here, the last words there, it says in verse 67, and he loved her. Christ loves us. Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we finished the chapter, and that's the teaching. But let me tell you now, because of what Christ has done for you and I am, you are a child of God. I am redeemed from heaven, from the enemy. I am forgiven. I am saved by grace through faith. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am a new creature in Christ. I am a partaker of his divine nature. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am delivered from the powers of darkness. I am led by the Spirit. I am a son of God. I am kept in safety wherever I go, getting all my needs met by Jesus, casting all my cares upon him, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, doing all things through Christ who strengthens me, am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, an heir to the blessings of Abraham, observing and doing the Lord's commandments, blessed coming in and blessed going out, an heir of eternal life, blessed with all the spiritual blessings, healed by his stripes, exercising my authority over the enemy, above all and not beneath, more than a conqueror, establishing God's word here on earth, an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and his word of my testimony, daily overcoming the devil, not moved by what I see, walking by faith, not by sight, casting down vain imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity, being transformed by the renewing of my mind. There's 35 things that I am, all from Scripture. I didn't go to the Scriptures. We have so much in Christ. He has done so much for us. He's not done. Isn't that great? There's more to come. And one day we will be with him face to face. Every one of us. Listen, let's stretch it. 50 years from now, we're all with the Lord. Every one of us. And all these things that we're hoping and praying for, we're going to be living. I hope you're excited. And as we spoke of, the Spirit is speaking in this scripture in the beginning in Genesis with an urgency to tell about the Lord. So I pray now as the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and as we digest this word that we were taught tonight, that the Lord would give us opportunities to lead someone to Christ, or at least encourage someone who is a believer.